I'm going to make him a movie he can't review.
You're listening to B-Movies, only on 95 BFM.
Oh, I'm so pleased that we're able to bring this back this year. The return of the New Zealand International Film Festival after a bit of a COVID hiatus. It's kicking off next week, which is very exciting, and there's a lot of amazing films programmed, including one that we're about to have a chat about now with the writer and director, Tom. How are you this morning? I'm super excited to chat about Shut Eye, your excellent new film.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Yeah, it's really, really great to be part of the festival this year, and after so long, two years of being not really being able to watch stuff, so it's really great to be part of it.
It's a time of the year that film nerds look forward to, and it was pretty gutting to not be able to get out and celebrate it last year, thanks to the old Rona. But that means that the return season feels extremely exciting. It's a really awesome condensed program. We were just chatting about how even though it's slightly smaller than other years, there's still so much good stuff you can't even see at all. So we're here to help people maybe make some of those decisions, and I would say make a very good case to go and see your film. Tell us a wee bit about what Shut Eye is all about, because it's got a really interesting premise that feels very of the moment.
Yeah. So the story follows a 20-something dropout who's having a bout of insomnia that's sort of triggered on by this bizarre kind of trauma that she's experiencing. And what happens is that she gets recommended to investigate ASMR or sound therapy. She seems to be susceptible to that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that she finds a local influencer in Auckland who does it. And what initially sort of starts off is, oh, this is a remedy to help me sleep.
Yeah.
It soon becomes a bit of an obsession. And the obsession kind of grows to a point where it becomes physical, and then it becomes slightly dangerous for her as well.
It's a really, I think, amazing thing to me that I haven't seen anything where someone's taken this kind of potential voyeurism of ASMR and put it in this thrillery kind of context before. It makes a lot of sense because it's a strange part of the internet. It's also kind of a lovely part of the internet as well. It's one of those spaces where, depending where you come in on it, it's got its whole community around it. People might be listening and not actually having any idea what ASMR is. Tom, do you want to explain a little bit about it?
Yeah, so ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, and the actual name of it, ASMR, was I think coined in 2010 when a group of people came online to discuss this kind of spine tingling sensation that would happen when someone would whisper in your ear, like this kind of feeling that would start at the top of your head and make its way down your spine. So that was the kind of, I suppose, genesis of the word ASMR.
Mm.
But since then it's become, I suppose, quite broadened. So like I was just saying before to the producer, Zoe. How it's kind of broadened into just general sound therapy. So you might find like on unboxing videos, you might find like role-playing videos, you might find kind of textural, environmental kind of sound noises. So it covers quite a wide range.
Mm.
I even think Virginia Woolf mentioned it in 1925 in one of her books. Yeah, about someone whispering in her ear and this kind of sensation of like this kind of shiver down the back of her spine.
That's amazing.
Mm.
It's a really interesting world because there is like this sort of discussion about is it weird, and there's maybe a lot of stigma around it, and the film is not necessarily investing time in trying to work out that, but I think it's playing with this idea of the sort of strangely intimate relationship that you might have if you're watching an ASMR video, because it's quite often two camera. It's quite often people whispering into the microphone like it's your ear, and it's a strange sort of relationship, and your protagonist in this is having like, this quite intense relationship with the character, which, as you say, then comes into the real world space. When did you sort of think, I might have a movie in this kind of, in this land that we're looking at here?
Yeah, I think it was the mystery around it all, because like you just said, there is some kind of, there is a strangeness to it, but there is also kind of, how's the best way to describe this? essential, almost sexual side to it as well. And it can become quite a personal experience when you are just one-on-one with your device, listening to someone whisper into a microphone or role-playing as a certain person, saying positive things. That can become quite an attractive thing. And that was the point where I realized, okay, well, who are these people? How did they get here? That's kind of where it propelled us to start researching it a bit more. So we spent like a very long time looking at a broad range of ASMR performers to try and come up with a story that we thought we could sort of execute well here.
It feels very real. That's something that I found when I was watching it. It's got this beautiful sort of surreal quality to it because it's all set in Tamaki Makaurau. It's absolutely gorgeous the way it's shot. Colour is incredible, the framing is amazing, and the pacing is very sort of dreamlike. But there is a kind of reality to it where, you know, you totally believe the central relationship that's happening here. And the character of Sierra, which she's complicated, you know, she's not actually very nice for a lot of the film. What was, I guess, once you had this kind of central idea around, okay, this is a weird world to maybe explore, how did you pull the rest of the story together around it, Tom?
Yeah, so I think there are two things to that. So one was that, like, emotionally, this is quite a personal story of my own. One where it was in 2017 when I'd returned from living abroad, and sort of had a really hard time reconnecting with people here. I sort of noticed a few things had changed in Auckland. A few of the attitudes were changing. So I took that part, but it wasn't until 2020 where I actually made a documentary with some young people who were using K-pop to dance in Freiburg Square. I don't know if you know of the KDA group.
Oh, we see them when we go down and do our Drive Island live-to-air broadcasts. There's quite often K-pop kids dancing down there. It's so cool to see.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. So I got talking with a few of them, excuse me, and one of them was talking to me about how they use K-pop to help up with their anxieties and things like this. So I kind of paired both of these things together. I shared the screenplay with the group, you know, to have them look over it, and they were really happy to see it. They actually appear in the film as well. And so once we sort of had the kind of core of the story, firstly, we wanted to make something that we can make ourselves. So it's a self-funded film.
Totally.
We were sort of at the point where we were just banging our head against a brick wall trying to get the film commission to fund things, and we're like, well, this isn't going to happen, so we got to do it ourselves.
DIY it.
Yeah, that's right. And then we thought, okay, well, how do we make something that feels fresh and original for local audiences and potentially international audiences? So the vision you're talking about, how we captured Tamaki Makaurau, really was a lot of thought into how do we make an audience feel subjectively put into the world of someone who's new to the city.
Yes.
You know, so we wanted to close it off a little bit, hence the ratio we've got. It's 4:3 to make it more claustrophobic. We shot most of it at nighttime. We didn't want to film anything that was kind of resembling Auckland City as such, with the Sky Tower and the bridge and things like that. So those are a few of the techniques we use. And then, of course, the soundtrack as well. So we wanted to kind of feel synth wavy in a way. Yeah. So we had like an electronic soundtrack put over the top of it.
It's a really impressive way of making a familiar place feel strange because, you know, I was looking at it and I was like, oh, okay, that's the Alan Melville sort of, that's Freiburg Square, but how come it feels so foreign? Like, I walk through there every day and somehow it feels so strange to me. And I think that's one of the things I really enjoyed about this film, is it's really tense and really sort of uncomfortable a lot of the time, but it's also got really beautiful moments of this like lovely familiarity and, you know, some really moving scenes and kind of, without giving anything away, sort of revelations about some of the characters too, that I think really pulls you through the story with this sort of sticky protagonist that you've got here. What are you hoping people take from seeing this, because this is your first debut feature film, which is really awesome, Tom. What are you hoping, you know, this sort of might lead to a little bit more in this space for you or in your crew, you know?
Absolutely, for sure. I mean, we had such a great time making it. And like, you know, I was saying before that, like, I'm just convinced this is what I'm meant to be doing as a storyteller. Like, I'm good at nothing else except for like writing and directing, you know, that's it. I am hoping that, you know, this can propel not only like my own filmmaking journey, but everyone else who was involved. Like, yeah. we deliberately got first-time feature filmmakers across the board.
That's awesome.
To work on this because we wanted to be on the same playing field, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
We're often asked, you know, when trying to get things made, like, who's in it? Who's the lead actor?
Mm.
Who's the producer? Because everyone's looking for, like, you know...
The name,
right? But for us, we didn't feel that would be right. You know, we wanted to create a platform where everyone could use it for to springboard their careers, basically. So,
yeah, yeah.
So that was a really good thing, a good feeling for us to bring all those people together. So yeah, I'm hoping that we can all kind of walk away from this with hopefully a few more opportunities in the future.
Well, it's a beautiful movie. It's a really interesting film. I think anybody who lives in Auckland will really enjoy watching it. It's got some really amazing ways of showing the city and kind of talking about that experience of being young and new to a space that I'm sure everybody has felt at some point in their lives, and through this very interesting lens of ASMR as well. So I don't think you need to know much about ASMR to walk into this film, for sure. You can just kind of go in and it will reveal itself to you. But the Hollywood Avondale is the place to go. There's one screening, so everybody better go book their tickets right now.
Yeah.
Tell us the when, where, and why. The how, rather. Where do people go to get their tickets for this, Tom?
Oh, yeah. So they just go into the NZIFF website, just look for the film tab and find Shuteye, and then, yeah, go click on buy tickets. Yeah. And you're getting quick because I think we're nearly sold out.
Ooh, and it is happening on the 31st of July at 5:15 p.m. Tom Levesque, thank you so much for coming in and chatting about Shuteye. It's a beautiful movie. We'll see you in the cinema.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead. Make my film.
You're listening to B-Movies.